This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noelle Lim. Freight forwarders play a crucial role in getting goods cleared by customs and delivering them to us. However, it's a cutthroat industry and shipping costs have skyrocketed thanks to imbalances in global supply and demand. Alvin Chua, president of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders, joins us today to shed some light on these problems and how it might affect our cost of living. So industry associations that we speak to say the current lockdown is killing thousands more businesses and global shipping costs have risen quite substantially, I think 4 to 5 times now for goods sent to US and Europe. How affected are your members?
As you know, since the middle of 2020, the impact on shipping industry was already felt. You know, blank sailings were introduced and many shipping schedules were disrupted, cancelled, leading to diversions and also omissions of ports. At the time, many ports, many countries were on lockdown. So, you know, the ship had just to skip, you know. And also why the price went up is because, you know, when the shipping container arrived in Europe and America, when there was having a big lockdown, there were shortages of drivers, you know. The turnaround of container, which take, you know, 3 days, now become 10 to 11 days. So a lot of containers were stuck at the inland, you know, and not coming back to the port for them to empty back, haul back to China or to ASEAN countries, right? This led to a severe shortage of container at many main ports. A consequences of shortage of container was the main astronomical increased freight rate, with some route reporting 300 to 500% increase. That's what you have mentioned earlier, you know. But now, another disaster happened, which actually the blockage of the Suez Canal, about 10 days. And this caused another backlog, right? And recently in April, May, we saw Yantian port, you know, the sixth largest port in the world, was hit by the pandemic, and they were closed, you know, a few days. Now they are open back. And this also caused all the vessel, you know, to omit again. And then because of this, many vessel was delayed, and also a lot of waiting time. So with that, you know, the cost of shipping to example now to Europe and also to USA have increased by tenfold, not just 500%, actually it's 1,000%. We saw rates from China going to USA at $20,000 per container, which is way out. You know, last time was about $2,000 to $3,000, right? And also to Europe, you know, now it's about $10,000 to $15,000. But actually, the shipping line are taking very, very big advantage on this and just increase the price, you know. So, example, you know, Hyundai has been losing more than 10 years. Their government have to keep on pumping money. But this year, 2020, the result is out. They make $947 million. Imagine that, right? So, in summary, only shipping lines has benefited tremendously from this COVID-19.
How long do you expect this global imbalance to last and for high shipping costs to persist?
I don't see any... The rate coming down for 2021, maybe mid of 2022, then we can see some little bit of downturn. I mean, the price coming down a bit, so they won't be able to come down. Example, a 5,000 TEU container, which actually is considered a small vessel, they are charging, they are chartering it at $100,000 a day now, right? So you look at the chartering price, then you know. Also, the fuel price is also going up. Really. Now it's about US 70, I think so. Right. So these are the few factors I can see that the price will not come down in the next one or next 1 year.
So what happened is your freight forwarders, your members, they have to pay cash to the shipping lines. But the norm is to give credit terms to their customers. I can imagine their cash flow is going to be under a lot of pressure. Are banks forthcoming in giving credit to help your freight forwarders? Or are you anticipating closures of some of your members or maybe consolidation?
We are still up to today, MCO 1, 2, 3 and Phase 1. We are still 100% open. All right. Even though the volume came down to by 20% for Malaysia, 20-30%. Some of them is 30%, some is 20%. Because as you are aware, you know, essential goods play about 30% of the total volume, right? 70% is still non-essential. And because of this, especially now MCO 3.0, although in May you can see the increase of export and import volume and also the amount announced recently by MITI, right? But this is very artificial. You see, cost of transportation for Malaysia under the World Bank is about 12-15% of the GDP, right? Now we have hit maybe about 25% of the GDP in transport logistics alone. So this actually affect, you know, the whole value chain and also the supply chain, right? And now, because of this closure, you know, and stopping the non-essential goods from moving, so a lot of importer and exporter also stop production, and this also affect the numbers to come down. The only one which actually benefiting a lot actually is, as you can see, is rubber glove, and E&E goods.
So what would it mean for your industry then, to in order to survive this, at least this phase one, or the next 6 months?
This is a very difficult prediction here. You know, we have to consolidate and also find ways to cut costs. You know, the government forces to work from home. As you know, for our freight forwarding or logistics industry, 90% are SME, right? So we don't have, every staff is just doing their own responsibility. To work from home is a very big challenge because, you know, the Malaysian government permit and these approval agencies are all silos, right, number one. And they don't have really online. A lot of time we have to still go to the port, you know, like customs, you know, to get approval for import and export. So a lot of company now is getting the strain, you know, of how to operate, right? Not so much on the loss, you know, that we are facing.
On this note, I read that cargo clearance at customs and also other government agencies like agriculture can be very tedious. For one, the customs, ports and other government agencies have their own systems that are not connected. So you need physical runners to go to different counters in separate buildings to get a single shipment inspected and cleared. How could we speed up this process?
They were actually on the road, you know, especially customs when they introduced new customs, you know. So, but the 7-year project just fell off. You know, last year they stopped it, the new customs, and they have spent more than 700 million, I think so, you know, for this project, and now it's suspended. You know. So now we are back to square one. We are using the old 1993 system, Maklumat Custom or SMK, you know, which is partial online. You know, after submitting, we still have to go to customs with the document. You know, it's not paperless; it's paperless. That's all. Actually, you know, they done the pilot for 1 year in Portland, right? So, as Portland is the biggest, I think so is the correct way for them to start the pilot. There were so many issue and problem. This is actually because, you know, I sit in the committee in MOF on this project. Okay, but they don't allow us to visit, you know, or see the system that you know, other countries are using. Actually, there's only one country using it, you know, in the Middle East. It's really crazy, you know. And then they want to force it to us to do it. I prefer to look at Korea, Japan, you know, or even China, right? Which they are usable, right? And Korea, you know, you take 30 minutes just to do a clearance, including custom brokerage, right? We can't do that because our system is not capable to do that. You know, we have to send it through a highway, right? through a highway through Dagonet, then go to customs. Then we had to print out, you know, the documents. Then we had to bring the invoice packing list, because there is no way for us not to attach the document into the custom form for custom to see.
Right, in the new pilot project, the documents could have been scanned. Was the pilot quite promising? Did it show quite promising results?
Actually, they didn't match the current SMK system with the new system. They should have matched it, side by side, and then they can reduce the processes. Then it will be much easier. But, you know, it's here and there, you know, so it's quite difficult for them also, you know. Then the customs, they have a different team for new custom, and then the present SMK officers and all. So they are not in talking terms. It's very difficult. So we have a lot of issue on that, you know. And there's a lot of bugs. They have to clear all the bugs. But, you know, the contractor that the government given to, they subcontract to an Indian company, right, to do all this software, right, the finance software. But, you know, every time there's a problem, they have to go back to the Indian company to do it, you know. So it takes a lot of time. The U Customs is not a very difficult software for today, you know, right? You don't have to spend so much money. And easily Malaysian can do it, you know, don't have to go that, like the, when we start the GST, you know. Yeah, we give it to all the accounting company to do, software company to do it. They did it very well, you know. It's all connected to customs, it's very easy, we just submit, you know. That's what we want. Front end, you know, software, which custom only need the data, that's all.
I am speaking with Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders, on the issues faced by the industry. After this, we'll discuss why Malaysia's logistics performance has fallen in ranking below Thailand and Vietnam. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders, joins us today. On the World Bank's Logistics Performance Index, Malaysia's ranking has slipped from 32 in 2016 to 41 in 2018. It's a once-in-two-year survey. In this region, Singapore is amongst the top 10 in the world, while in 2018, Thailand and Vietnam outranked Malaysia. Given that we're historically a trading nation, why aren't we more competitive?
Malaysia would have already gone back to, say, 20-something if the U custom were in place. Actually, it's the government agencies which are having the biggest roadblock for us. You see, instead of facilitating trade, now they are, you know, more enforcing. You know, all right. So now we have many other government agencies coming in to enforce also. Last time we only have customs. Now we have markets, we have health, we have even timber board, rubber board. You know, waste. It's not. You can do the enforcement, but you must consolidate and do under one agency like Marquis, like Australia can see is Arquis. But Malaysia Custom is quite good, you know. We have pre-clearance, all right, we can do pre-clearance, you know. We can submit a document 24 hours before the ship arrives, you know. We can already approve it if there's no problem. But not everything is examined, you know. But for the other government agency, you can't do that. You have to wait for the containers or the vessel to arrive after they want to inspect the physical part. That's the challenge we have.
In 2019, the Royal Malaysian Customs Department revealed that almost 80% of complaints it received are related to corruption. How satisfied are you with the progress of weeding out corruption in government agencies, or including the customs?
This question is very difficult, right? Okay, when they introduced the new custom system, you know, we were able to reduce corruptions because with new customs, we were able to reduce human intervention with customs. You just submit everything online, and the assessment will be done at Putrajaya. You know, there's no officer in the station at all, right? The only place that there's intervention is when the container is moved out from the port, from the terminal to out from the terminal at the gate. You know, where they do examination on random, meaning that, you know, maybe about 10 to 15% of the container will be scanned, and if it's near required examination, then we'll do examination at a gate. So this is actually a very good system, right? And hope the government will bring back the U-Custom using this model, you know.
What other issues are your members facing?
This is pertaining to the licensing of customs agents, right? In 5 years ago, with the assistant of the Minister of Transport, Dato' Seri Liao Tung Lai, he was able to convince the Prime Minister to reduce the equity, this moving contract equity to 30%. Booming equity for customs agent. Okay, so before this one, all company must comply to 51% moving contract status. All company, right? Only the IILS, the Integrated Logistic Service Provider, right? Given by MIDA, you don't have to have this. We also have about 30 company, which is since 1973, they are custom brokerage. They are all non-Bumi company, which are 100% non-Bumi owned. They also allow this. But they say they want to review in 2020. All right. So in this early this year, 2021, custom come out with a letter to say that, you know, even without the reviewing yet, you know, they say they want to go back to 51%. Right, and also the IILS company or ILS company now also had to comply with the contract status. We have written to MOF, ET, MOT. Why we are small? Because we had to create a few companies, right? Custom brokerage, freight forwarding, transport, warehouse, you know, we have to separate all of them from overseas, right? Example, they come and invest in Malaysia, right? Like Costco Logistics, they get a license 100%. Without this moving contract status, right? So these are the challenges. Now this is the biggest challenges we are having. So they say that now they are pushing this license issue to Teraju, the government, this arm, you know, to look at it and then see whether, you know, they can still go on 30% or not.
What are the implications on competitiveness of SMEs if the businesses have to be broken up in order to work around this Bumiputra shareholder requirements?
Right. So if you are integrated, you know, everything is one. So you have your division of custom brokerage, they just do it, then straight away they can key into the system and then you clear all your goods, you know, using the system. You look at the profile of each individual company, you can see that most of the company have two or three companies. But why do they need that? You know, why do they need that? Right, it's because of, you know, you had to break it up, you know, because of the equity issue.
The payroll can be parked in one company, and then there's a charge out rate to that company.
That's what we are doing now. That's what a lot of companies are doing now, you know. So they pay a certain amount to the custom brokerage company, say maybe 50 ringgit per job, you know. So, you know, even the profit is very minimal.
But what you're saying, it just adds to the administrative cost of just doing this additional work.
Yeah, correct.
So we've discussed what the government could do or needs to do, but what about your members? How are they upping their game and adapting to live with COVID-19?
Yeah, you are talking about innovation. I've been pushing this, you know, for the industry for the last, since 2020 when the pandemic started. We talk about not even digitalization, we talk about digitaling your own company first, you know, write your own document, everything in your own office, before we can even start the journey of digitalization. So actually we have support from software provider and also from MDEC, you know. There were grant given, one-for-one grant up to 400,000, you know. Now they wouldn't have this Go Digital 100, which, you know, they give you a grant one-to-one again, up to 200,000, and there will be a coach doing your company. But as I say, you know, we are SME, you know, a lot of companies still do not see the importance of digitalization. They still want their staff to come to office, you know. And I don't blame them on that also, because as earlier we talked about the customs or the government agencies having silos. Our association, we have started the journey for digitalization. We have found a company which can do end-to-end software, including your freight forwarding software, interface with the customs software, and also interface with the accounting. So you can work from home.
What's the buy-in so far from your members?
Out of the 1,200 member, at first when I come up with this program, 50 complete take up, then there's a lot of dropout. We have about 20 complete now on pilot.
That seems very low considering you have like at least 1,000 members. What are their concerns?
The crossroad that we are facing now, you know, the young generation want to come in, they like to work from home, you know, not from office. You know, the boss know it, the second generation know it, but this old gap, you know, the above the I can call them the B50, you know, this group, you know, to B40, this 10-year gap is a challenge for us. We want to do it, the boss want to do it, but these people are the core, are the key person in the company which cannot change. That's the problem.
So you've called the government to accelerate vaccinating those who are working in the industry, logistics industry. What is the progress and response from the government?
Our port community, actually, fraternity, led by PKA, the Portland Authority, came out with a memorandum to this Kyrie, and at last he agreed to give us the vaccine. So on the first phase, the PCAS for Portland, we received 10,000 doses, but actually it's only for the ports and terminal and also the marine departments. So it left very little for our industry. We got about 600 doses, you know, for the first phase. We have about 4,000 over members registered, you know, which we sent to them, but they only allocated 600 to us for phase one. They say they will try to get another 15,000 on phase two from 16 July onward, you know. So, but we are still waiting. I'm in pharma logistics, you know. So I'm also looking at the Chembio, right? Chembio is coming in on early July, first 1,000 doses. Yeah. Right, so let's see, you know, how we push this. But the way they distribute, but it's very important to give it to the frontliners.
Thank you for speaking to us, Alvin Chua, President of the Federation of Malaysian Freight Forwarders. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.